Hello and welcome to another episode of Minutes with Mom. Today we're going to be talking about change in our home. And if we want to change our homes, it has to start with us. Yesterday, I talked about living our lives with God at the center rather than with things organized in a totem pole-like fashion, with God being number one, family being number two, so on and so forth. When God is at the center of our lives, everything that is involved in our lives stem from God. And it's in those moments that, just like a wheel on a bicycle, everything turns and moves and goes exactly how it is planned or created to. So how our attitudes, our fears, etc., change when He is at the center is so important to realize. When God is the thrust of everything that we do, when He is the reason we choose to live in a certain area, when He is the reason we choose to do certain things, whether it's homeschool, whether it's adopt, any of those things, our attitudes and the things that we're afraid of and we're not afraid of change drastically because our faith, our trust, and our hope is in God. But the minute we remove God from the center, that's when the enemy uses it as an opportunity to come in and manifest fear, manifest doubt, anxiety, all of those different elements that cause us to turn our eyes from God and rather focus on our circumstances, ourselves, whatever the situation is. Now, most of us don't want to live in a home filled with anger, strife, contention, all of those things. What we want is a home filled with unity, joy, love, peace, a place that we can really look at as a haven rather than a place that we want to avoid and get away from at any and all costs. Doing a heart check often to make sure our priorities are correct is extremely important. Elise Fitzpatrick wrote a book called Idols of the Heart. It was such a convicting book and so monumental in my life when I realized how in my own heart I have idols that I worship and serve. Some of those might be perfection. Some of those might be body image. Some of those might be wanting to look good on the outside, and I'm not focusing any time or energy on what's going on the inside. Idols are anything that take precedent over God Himself. They can be our children. They can be our marriage. They can be friendships. They can even be something like the activity of going to church rather than church and being with the body and worshiping God. Checking our hearts is crucial if we want to see a change in our home. Again, the change has to start with us. So what are some practical ways we can help bring about change? Number one, examine our hearts. Are there things that we're putting above God? And are there things that we are worshiping and serving rather than God Himself? When the commandments were first given to the children of Israel, one of those 10 was, "You shall not have any other gods before me." How many times are we putting other gods before the only God, the one true God? How many times are we letting the stress of a job loss control and dictate our attitude when it comes to our circumstances in life? How often are we putting the emphasis on the amount of money that we make, or how large our house is, or how new our car is? How often are we focusing on the wrong things instead of focusing on God and where He has put us in our lives? Another practical way that we can bring about change in our home is with God's Word. When we are hiding God's Word in our hearts, it revolutionizes our attitude, our thought process, all of the above. Think about it. The Bible talks about renewing our mind on a daily basis. Are you doing that? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you focusing on the things that He wants you to focus on? Some of the things that I would encourage you to do when going to hide God's Word in your heart is committing to memorize Scripture. Some things to memorize if you aren't really sure where to start. Verses of encouragement. Verses that will remind you that God is with you, that He loves you, that He cares about you. Verses dealing with our areas of weakness, like anger. What about being discontent? What about child training? What about being a wife, being a husband, any of those things? Practical ways to make Bible reading a habit. Here's a little trick. And this is something that I learned from a pastor, and it revolutionized my excitement in wanting to read God's Word. If you read 10 verses every day in the New Testament for an entire month, you will have read through the entire New Testament in a 30 to 31 day time span. Now think about that. If you commit yourself to that schedule of Bible reading, you can practically and realistically read the New Testament 12 times in a year. Now for me, who is very methodical and let's make out a game plan and let's figure this out, that was a huge game changer for me. Because I think 10 chapters a day, I can do 10 chapters a day. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to sit down and do 10 all at one time. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to devote this hour and a half time block to read these 10 chapters. If I just think 10 chapters in a day, I could read a couple in the morning, maybe I could read a couple out loud to the kids at lunchtime, and then finish off my evening with the rest of them. And if you think about it, once you get past the big books, the Gospels, Acts, and Romans, you can actually get to where you're completing a couple of books in one day's time, because your Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, all of those are less than 10 chapters each. And so you can finish several books in just one day. And that kind of a thing is very, very, very encouraging. Also too, you begin to see the connections between Scripture. You see Acts as the roadmap for all of Paul's missionary journeys. And then once you get to the book of Romans and to the book of Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians, you start to see where Paul was at that time and who exactly he was writing to, and it creates this coming alive of the Bible, and I just love that. Another thing that you can do is if you really want to hone in on something and really begin to understand what the Scriptures say, aside from your 10 chapters a month, I would encourage you to focus on a book at a time. So for me, when I did this, I started off with the book of Ephesians, and I read the book of Ephesians every single day. And I would encourage you, read the book in the same book. So again, like if you have a Bible on your nightstand and then you have a Bible that kind of sits in your living room, don't one day read it from the one on your nightstand and then read it from the one in the living room. Read it from the same exact Bible, because what will happen is as you begin to read it over and over and over and over again, your mind will almost take mental pictures and you will be able to say, oh, I know what verse that the pastor is talking about. It's on the left-hand side of the page, about a third of the way down on this first column. You'll begin to remember in your mind where exactly that is. And that is proof that you are internalizing and hiding God's word and His truths in your heart. And that is so vitally important for us as not just Christians, but for us as moms and for those of us that want to see a change come about in our home. Another important thing that I just alluded to was beginning and ending your day at the feet of Jesus. Think about it for a second. Many of us have heard over and over and over and over again the story of Mary and Martha, the two sisters. There have been books written on cleaning with a Martha attitude but having a Mary heart. There have been other books written, devotionals, all different kinds of things that talk about this discord between Mary and Martha. The thing that I want to emphasize in that story is this. Never once did Jesus tell Martha what she was doing was wrong. He never told her, Martha, you need to stop trying to have a clean house and you need to stop making food preparations. You need to stop all that. He never said that. Never. What he did do was he commended Mary for having her priorities figured out and in line. Jesus was Mary's center. When he was there, she was there. She was devoted to sit at his feet and take in all of the things that he had to say. Now think for a second. In your own life, if you woke up before any of your children woke up, even before your husband woke up, I don't know what time that would be for you, but for me, it's about 5 o'clock. If I wake up, I feed the baby really quick, get him back to sleep, and then I go over to my desk with my cup of coffee, and I sit there at the feet of Jesus. I read, I pray, I meditate, I think about my day ahead. I think about the things that are going on in my life. And then I just talk to the Lord. My day is so much different. Now at the end of my day, after all of life has happened to me, after I have trained and disciplined and homeschooled and cooked and cleaned and changed dirty diapers and bathed kids and loved on my husband, after all the day's activities are done, if I again place myself at the feet of Jesus and I say, God, it was only because of you I was able to get through this day. It was only because of you I was able to respond correctly. It was only because of you I was able to live out all the things that you've called me to. Don't you think that you would fall asleep with peace and just comfort knowing that you have a God that loves you, that is with you, that enables you to do all the things that he wants you to do? Think about it for a second. We don't have a God that says, okay, your job is to be a mom. Now go and be a mom. You're on your own. How terrible would that be? It would be so hard. It would be impossible. We'd never be able to do all the things that are required of us as moms if God wasn't right there with us, giving us the strength, giving us the comfort, giving us the discernment, giving us the knowledge and the training that we need to instill knowledge and to train our own children. So think about it. If you aren't spending your time being trained in God's word, reading, praying, spending time with him, how can you expect to train, nurture, and teach your own children in a way that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord? Now, I do none of this perfectly. I fell every single day. In fact, one of the biggest areas of weakness in my life is anger. When I was growing up, one of the ways that my family communicated their frustration was by yelling. And if you wanted to emphasize your point, you yelled louder. And oftentimes, one person would be yelling, and the other person would yell a little bit louder, and then the other person would yell a little bit louder just to make sure they're heard, and before you know it, it was an all-out screaming war. I unfortunately carried this into my mothering, and I hate it. I feel so guilty when I yell at my kids, and sometimes I used to feel like I was powerless against being able to refrain from yelling. But something that I started to do was when I was tempted, or when I am tempted, because I still am tempted, when I'm tempted to raise my voice and yell because nobody's listening to me, the kids aren't picking up what I've said to pick up, they're still playing, or they're messing around, or they're making messes, or whatever the case is, Sometimes I'll close my eyes and out loud I will say, Jesus, I need your help. I cannot do this. Please help me. And then I'll take a few deep breaths and I'll slowly open my eyes back up. And just that activity alone has helped me tremendously to conquer my anger. I don't do it perfectly. Again, like I said, I mess up all the time. But when I do, I seek forgiveness from my children. I tell them I'm sorry. I seek forgiveness from the Lord, telling him, I'm sorry, God. I know that it's not okay that I did this. Please, please help me. It's so, so, so very important that we spend time with the Lord. Because when we're spending time with God, it's in those moments that he shows us, hey, you need to work on this. Hey, you're not doing so hot in this area.Ey, you know this thing over here? Yeah, you need to stop trying to do that on your own. You need me. There are so many self-help books, five-step plans, three strategies that are at our fingertips these days. You can go on Pinterest and the pin pictures are littered with five steps to this, three steps to that. And where is God? Where is God in the equation? There is nothing in us that can do anything apart from him. And to think that there is some formula that man has developed that will enable us to accomplish this thing called motherhood, we are foolish to think it's true. It's not. I've tried. Trust me. I have bought the books. I have done the different things. I have implemented this and tried that and come up with games and prizes and strategies and all of these different things. And the only time I'm ever able to really reach the heart of my family is when I have been on my face before God, crying out to him in desperation, saying, I need you. That's the only way you will ever see true and lasting change come about in your life, in the lives of your family, and in your home. You're not going to be a perfect family. It's not out there. And if you see a family that looks perfect, look a little closer whenever the doors are shut and nobody's paying attention, or at least they think nobody's paying attention. You will see huge gaping holes because no one can reach perfection. No one can obtain the ability to overcome and bring about change in their homes apart from Christ. And you know what? Honestly, I'm glad that that's the way God set it up. I'm glad that anytime I try to do something on my own, I will fail miserably, because it's a constant reminder of the fact that he is God and I am man. And apart from him, I am nothing. And I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the hard things that happen in life that turn me towards him. I'm thankful for kids that are born with a sin nature that have to be taught and trained, because it's a constant reminder that God says, I have to do the same thing with you. You are so stubborn. You are so hard-headed. But I'm patient with you and I love you and I spend the diligent time needed to grow you and shape you and mold you to be the person that I want you to be. That is so beautiful if you think about it. God fathers us just like we have to mother and father our own children. It's such a great example of what God expects us to do in our own homes by the way he fathers us. Again, this isn't easy. It's hard. Paul talks about killing your flesh daily. And sometimes when you are in the trenches of motherhood, it's not a daily flesh killing. Sometimes it's a second to second killing of the flesh. When you've got children who are fighting and they're arguing and they're creating messes. It's like you clean up the living room and you turn around and the dining room's now destroyed, and now you have to go into the dining room and clean that, and you turn around and the living room's a catastrophe again. It's like this crazy endless cycle. But you know what? You can overcome any of that with the help God will give you. Seeing change in our home will not happen with any 5-step method. It won't come about with any 3-strategy plan. The only way we will see change is by crying out to God and asking for Him to change us. And it's then that we will see the change happen in our children, in our spouse, in our home. I encourage you, if you are in a situation where you feel like there's just no way, I can't do this, I can't keep going this way, I urge you, throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. Stop cleaning the house, stop doing all of that, and be like Mary and sit there with your focus on Him, and you will see God cultivate change in you, and in turn, the change will come in your family and in your home. Today's episode, I hope, was an encouragement to you to lean on the Lord and to rest in everything that He offers to us as we go about in our mothering. I hope to have you come and visit again tomorrow. I podcast every weekday morning at 10 a.m., and you can view those podcasts on minuteswithmom.com. I also have a book club Periscope broadcast that I do every weekday morning at 8 a.m. You can find me on Periscope, Jerrica at Minutes with Mom. We go over books that offer encouragement, books that cause us to think, books that really get us focused on Christ and God and becoming better women and becoming better moms and friends and wives and just believers all together. Again, I hope to see you tomorrow. I hope this episode was an encouragement to you, and I will talk to you later.